It sounds like I'm turned on, so y'all may want me turned off before it's all over with. But if you're here tonight and you're saved and you're glad of it, say amen. Good deal, good deal. Good to be here tonight. Brother David, he had some training to conduct tonight, so he called us yesterday and asked us if we would come and stand and fill in for him tonight. So we'll try our best. We're not much of a fill-in, but we'll just try our best to follow the good Lord and bring what He's laid on our heart, and then we can all say it's been good to be in the house of God. But we're glad to be here tonight. If y'all don't know me, that's okay, as long as you know my Jesus. That's what matters the most. For those of you that don't know me, I am Joshua's dad. I tell folks, he got all the hair, all the looks, and all the good preaching, and I got what's left. So y'all stuck with me while he's out there with all the kids tonight. But it's good to be here tonight. And if you got your Bibles with you and you want to turn and read along with us, we're going to read a few verses out of 2 Chronicles chapter 23. At 2 Chronicles chapter 23, and then we'll also read one other verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 if you want to turn and mark that. 2 Chronicles 23 and 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll give everybody just a few minutes to turn to that. And hope everybody's had a good day, and hope that it just gets better tonight as we come this way to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tonight. But we're excited. We appreciate the opportunity to stand. I know it's not a minor thing when a pastor gives up his pulpit for another man to stand in, so we're grateful for Brother David for that. And let me say this. We have really enjoyed coming and listening to Brother David preach. And Liberty, you are blessed to have such a man of God that God has placed here to preach the word to you. We've been to a lot of places and heard a lot of preaching, and you'll not hear no better than what Brother David preaches. It's straight up, it's straight down, straight out of the word of God, and that's what matters the most. So be grateful for that tonight. And if you've got your Bibles turned, we're just going to read a few verses over in 2 Chronicles. If you would please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading in verse number 9. It's where we'll start our reading at. It says, "Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he set all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar, and the temple by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, 'God save the king.'" Now we're going to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1 says this. It says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Let us go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, as we call upon thy blessed and holy name, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, that we have your word to turn to, Lord, to get into, Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we open up your word, and Lord, as we begin to try to expound upon it, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would guide the words that come out of our mouth, Lord, that we might bring it to these people that are gathered here tonight, Lord, just as pure and complete as it was when you brought it to us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that it might pierce, Lord, every heart that's here tonight. Lord, that it might speak to those, Lord, that you intend for it to speak to. Lord, that your will might be done, Lord, and lives might be transformed, dear Lord, that we would, Lord, be changed when we leave this place. Lord, that we would be challenged more to follow you than we ever have. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you. In the blessed and holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. And the thought that the Lord gave us with this scripture is simply armed and dangerous. And that's the thought we're going to try to preach on tonight, would be armed and dangerous. And I want you to think about that for just a little while. And I want you to think back in your life if there's ever been a time that that you came to a place in life where you were confronted with something that maybe caused a fear or anticipation to come into your life or intimidation, and you thought, man, I wish I had something to protect myself with, something. I wish that I was armed with something to fight off whatever it is that's causing this fear, that's threatening me. And if you've ever been to that place and you didn't have anything and you found yourself in a place where you were scared, and I thought about tonight as God began to show us this passage of Scripture about arming ourselves in the Spirit. Arming ourselves in the Spirit. And I begin to think about what are our churches armed with today? Because I believe every day that we live, especially in the world the way it is now, we are in spiritual warfare every single day. Everywhere we go, we face it. Everything we do, it's present among us. Spiritual warfare. We see the decline of our nation. We see the decline of the morals. We see how things have become accepted that never were accepted. And folks, that's part of the spiritual warfare that we're fighting. And it's real tonight. It's as real as any war that's ever been fought in this country or countries abroad. It's really true. And the scripture that I read in your hearing over in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, let me just give you just a little bit of short, little bit of history here. And I know you all are probably Bible scholars and probably know this as good as I do, but in this little passage that we read here, the nation of Judah, they were without a king. They were kingless. They didn't have a king that was ruling over them at the time. Their previous king, he was an evil king. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God set forth that he would lose his life, and he was killed, and he lost his throne. And his mother, of the king, she took all of his male children, all the male sons of the king, and she had them all slain. She had them all killed. Her own grandchildren, she had them killed. And you say, why would she do that? Because she wanted to sit on the throne of Judah. She wanted to rule over the land. So that's what she did. She had all the sons killed. But there was this one priest and his wife. They took one of those children, one of those male children. His name was Joash. And when they saw what the king's mother was doing, they took this child and they brought him into the house of God, the Bible said. And they hid him there for 6 years. And for 6 years, this evil lady, and her name was Athaliah, she ruled over the nation of Judah. And she ruled in a very evil manner, a very conspicuous manner, very against the will of God. And the whole nation of Judah, besides Jehoiada and his wife, thought that there was no heir to the throne of David left living. So you know what they did? They just kind of settled in and followed the leadership of this evil woman and just dealt with it, I guess, the best that they could. And how many times do we, as God's children, find ourselves just settling into this life and just trying to deal with it the very best that we can and not really having anything that we're armed with to fight against the wiles of the devil? And folks, it's time that we as the church, that we as God's children, that we as followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, that we arm ourselves and we go out and we fight the battle and we take back the high places in this nation and in this world that Satan has so just robbed the church of. It's time. And listen, this priest, Jehoiada, he come to a place in his life. The Bible said that he strengthened himself, and he went, he began to gather men. And he began to tell these men, listen, there is an heir left to the throne of David. There's a little boy, he's 7 years old, and his name is Joash, and he's alive. And he is the rightful heir to the throne of Judah. And he said, I've got a plan that I want to institute, and I want to take back the throne. I want the rightful man to sit on the throne in the order that God set it up. So what Jehoiada did is he went and he gathered all the captains of the land of Judah. And they went about and they dispersed abroad and they went and they gathered the Levites. And the Bible said they brought them to the house of God. Now I want you to think about that for a little bit. This took place in the house of God. There is one thing that we are armed with, and brother, that is a place. We are armed with a place that we can come, that we can worship, that we can sing praises, that we can study the Word, that we can preach the Word, that we can fellowship with one another, that we can listen to the Holy Spirit speak to our heart. We are armed with a place. And I want you to think about that. And listen, Liberty, I don't know if all of you have been around the last several months, and I've kind of watched it from a distance, I guess, a little bit, to see what God's been doing in this place, to see all the souls that He's saved and the lives that He's transformed. And then listen, there's a lot of good places, a lot of good churches, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something going on here at Liberty Baptist Church. And if you don't have a place to call home, or if you don't have a church that seems like it's on fire for God and got some zeal and got some life in it, I encourage you to arm yourself with a good place of worship, that you might be encouraged, that you might be taught correct doctrine, that you might be preached to out of the Holy Word, that God may challenge you to live a life. Listen, if the gospel's not challenging you where you're at, I encourage you to find somewhere else to go. Every time I go to the house of God and a man preaches the true gospel, it challenges me to arm myself. And listen, we're armed with a good place here. You're armed with a good church. You're armed with men of God and women who'll study and teach and pray. And most of all, they love Jesus with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. And they love you. And that's the key to it. We got to love the Lord, and we got to love one another. And that's what it takes. So, Jehoiada, he was armed with a place. He was armed there with the house of God, with the temple of God. And I want you to think about this. The Bible said they had hid that child in the house of God for 6 years. You know what that tells me? That tells me that this evil ruler, that she didn't take the time or didn't have the care to even go to the house of God. She didn't even know that this young child was alive. She didn't even know that an heir to the throne of David was living and breathing and that he was the rightful king. She didn't know that. Listen, the house of God is a good place to come, and it's a good place to hide from the things of the world, but it's also a good place to get energized and go out into the world and fight the spiritual battles that need to be fought. So we're armed with a place to come to. And I thought about this. I thought about, I believe it's Psalms 122, where David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Folks, I don't know how y'all are, but I live to come to church. I do. I can't wait for Sunday mornings. I can't wait for Sunday nights. I can't wait for Wednesdays, because that's my recharging time. That's the time where I go get reloaded so I can go out into the world and fight the battle that God has called me to fight, that He has set before me. And you need a good place to do that. And I believe here tonight you've got a good place. And what Jehoiada did is he called all these priests together, and they went into the house of God. And I thought about, the Bible said they filled the temple. They filled it from the right side to the left side to the temple in the front, all the way to the back. They filled it up. Listen, there's something else that we're armed with. We're armed with people. We still have people that love Jesus. We still have people that want to reach out to a lost and a dying world and share the gospel with them. We have that. And listen, the more that we have, the better off that we are. Listen, I thought about this. Me and our middle child, Jonah, he works with me now. Me and him, we were going to work the other day, and we were driving through Gainesville. And it was right after all those heavy rains that we had had. And we drove across Lake Lanier three different times. And I was born and raised on Lake Lanier, been around that lake my whole life. And I looked at it and I began to think, man, the water is probably higher than I have ever seen it in my whole life. I've never seen Lake Lanier as full as it was just a couple of weeks ago. And I began to think about that body of water. And I began to think about how an analogy, how it is a lot like a church. Because I thought about that body of water. There's a lot of rivers and streams and creeks and swamps and springs. They all flow into that lake. And think about this. When I was a kid, we used to go up to Robertstown up above Helen, and we used to fish the Chattahoochee River up there. When I was a kid, we thought it was a big deal to go all the way up to the headwaters of the Chattahoochee River. And when you get up to the headwaters of the Chattahoochee River, it's nothing but a little spring coming out of the ground. That's all it is. But as that river, as it comes down that mountain, and as it comes on down, it grows in width and in breadth and in depth and in strength. It just grows and it grows. Why? Because it's got all these different creeks feeding into it. And I thought about, there's some water that it comes off the mountaintop. It's crystal clear. It's been filtered by the rocks and by the fast flow. But there's some that comes through the valley that just flows slowly through the farmland. And there's some, that even comes through the swamps, those miry, mucky swamps. But there's some of that water comes from the swamps. Some of it may even run through the storm sewer of the city of Gainesville before it flows into that lake. But you know what happens? All those rivers, all those streams, all those, you know where they end up at? One single place. And when they get into that big old place they call Lake Lanier, it serves a lot of purposes. There's a lot of recreation takes place on that lake. The most visited lake in the United States of America is Lake Lanier. There's a lot of recreation. There's a lot of needs that are fulfilled. It supplies Gwinnett County, Hall County, Forsyth County, Dawson County, Lumpkin County. They all get their drinking water out of Lake Lanier. They all get that. Now think about that. How's that a lot like a church? We as a church, whether we like to say this or not, we provide a sense of recreation for people. You got to give people something good to do. That's why I'm thankful that this church has equipped Joshua with everything he's got out there to lead those young people. You need that. Listen, I know that's not the end all of it. The end all of it is to make sure they have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them and instilled into their hearts. But you've got to have the tools to work with. You've got to have some drawing power. And I'm thankful that churches do that. And then I think about the water of life that flows freely from the altars in our churches where people can come and drink of that well of water that becomes a well of eternal life springing forth within them. And I thought about it's a lot like that lake. But then I thought about this. I got to thinking about that lake. And that lake, it gathers and it covers a huge area. I think there's five different counties that Lake Lanier touches. But you know what it does? To get released out of that lake, it's all got to come to one single place. One single point. Now how does that reference to us in the church? Church, when we get of one mind and one accord and we become one people, instead of this little clique and that little clique or this individual and that individual, when we all come together, and when we work towards one common goal and one common place to get to that one point, that when we're, guess what that water does when it's released out of Lake Lanier? What does it create? It creates power. It generates power. That's what it does. And you see all of that lake, and you see the thousands of acres that it covers, and you go where it comes out on the south end of that lake at Buford Dam, where it comes out, that river, I don't know, it's probably 100 foot wide there where it all comes out at. And listen, that's the way we've got to be. We need to be like those 120 were in the upper room. When Christ told them to go back and to pray, and that they was going to be endued with power from on high, and the Bible said they had all things common. They were of one mind and one accord in prayer. And when they got that way, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And brother, they left that place with some power that they had never felt in their lives before. The power to go out and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In church, when we all gather, and I thought about this. The more water that comes into that lake, the deeper it gets, the wider it gets, and the more potential it has to generate power. See, I can remember just a few years ago we were in such a drought that you could even see the remnants of some of the old buildings in Gainesville on the bottom of the lake. There's a racetrack over there, and you could even see remnants of the grandstands and stuff at the racetrack in Lake Lanier. And when it does that, you know what they do? They can't generate enough power. When the lake dries up, there's no power coming out of it. So we need the lake to be full. We need water coming in. We need fresh water. We need murky water. We need it all coming in. You know what happens when all that water comes into that lake? You know what all the dirt does? It settles. It settles to the bottom. And then when they release that water, it comes out as a beautiful flowing river again. And me and Dad, we used to trout fish just right down below the dam. And you'd be out there fishing, and that siren would go off. And you knew when that siren went off, buddy, you better be getting your fishing stuff, and you better be getting to the bank, because there was fishing to be a mighty rushing river of water come down through there. And it was going to move everything that it touched. I couldn't tell you how many times my father-in-law, he was a firefighter in Gwinnett County, and he was on the river rescue. I can't tell you how many times he had to go rescue fishermen out of that river where they would fail to hear the warning of the siren and get out of the river. But I thought about that's just like us. When we're armed and dangerous with the power of the gospel and with a mindset like 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 tells us to have, when we're armed with that, we become dangerous to whatever's downstream. You know, that old river, they would release it, and they'd sound that siren in church. We need to go out and sound the siren. Listen, that sin, that the wages of sin is still death today. People need to know that. People need to know that there's still a Savior that loves them enough that He died for them, and He can save their soul. Well, we need to arm ourselves with that knowledge. When we've got a good place and we've got people and we've got preaching and we've got prayer, then you know what else we've got? We've got power. We've got power. The Bible says that Jehoiada, when he got them all into the house of God, you know what they found in the house of God? They found King David's weapons. They found his weapons. Now to me, that just, when I read that, and listen, I've read through the Bible, and I'm not bragging about this, but I've read through the Bible several times, but when I read that the other day, I was like, I never caught that. And let me encourage you to do this. When you read your Bible, read with a purpose. Read with a purpose. Seek out God's will. Seek out what He's wanting to show you in it, how He's wanting to speak to you. Had an old man of God tell me one time that some of the best advice, because I used to be one of those, I would pick my Bible up about this time of year, and I was determined I was going to read through the whole thing in a year's time. And man, I'd start, and I'd just try to speed read, you know, get done as quick as I can. But I had a man tell me one time, he said, Joey, he said, read a little and study a lot. And when I started doing that, man, I began to find so much more in the Word of God. So I don't really have a reading plan anymore. I just said, God, you plan it, I'll read it, and you show it to me. And He will. I tell you what, I love. I love to start. I read through these six books of the Bible probably more than any other passage. I love to start in 1 Samuel and go all the way through 2 Chronicles. I tell you why I love that, because there's so much action in there. And there's so many things happening and so many different stories, and God delivers and God does this and God does that, and people fail and God lifts them up, and people make mistakes and God lifts them back up. God judges, but then God sets them back up on their feet. It's just full of those things. And old Jehoiada, he got here and they was in the house of God, and the house of God, it had the weapons of King David. So you know what he did? He armed all the men. He gave them spears, and he gave them bucklers, and all a buckler is a small shield, and then he gave them larger shields also. So he armed them. And he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this seven-year-old little boy who is the rightful heir to the king's throne. We're going to crown him. We're going to anoint him. We're going to give him a testimony, and we're going to make him the king. Now, church, I'm going to tell you the best way that we can arm ourselves and become dangerous to a lost and a dying world is when we take the Lord Jesus Christ and we anoint him, we crown him, and we give him a testimony out of our mouth that he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he still has a job for each and every single one of us to do. Now the Bible said, I want to read it to you again over there in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now think about that. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise, for he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that if I go and I suffer, that I won't sin anymore? No, that's not what that means. What that means, though, is when you get in total alignment with God's will for your life, that you're my... Listen, do you guys remember what Christ told the Father when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But then he went on, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. So Christ, he focused so totally on the will of the Father that he said, I will submit my own will, which was to maybe let this cup pass if there was any way that it could. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And we know what was about to happen to him. We know that he was about to suffer the most cruel and inhumane beatings and treatment that any human being could suffer, and that he would go to the cross and be crucified for mine and your sins. And that's what that scripture is telling us. When we get so in tuned to God's will for our life that we're willing to do like Christ says and say, not my will, God, but thy will be done, and whatever the cost, whatever suffering it takes, whatever I have to do, God, I'm going to do it for you and your glory. Brother, that's when you'll become armed. That's when you'll become dangerous. When you're willing to let everything else settle in below Jesus and put him on the throne of your life. Let him rule supreme every day, not just Sunday mornings, not just Sunday night, not just Wednesdays, not just when it's convenient. Every hour, every minute, every second, every day, every year, be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you'll have power. Then you'll be armed. Then you'll be dangerous. Then you'll make a difference in the world in which you live. You say, well, preacher, I don't have what it takes. What don't you have? Christ died for you. He sent his Holy Spirit to you. He comforts you. He gave us his word. He gives you a good place. He gives you good people. He's provided you with all the provisions. He's given you the weapons of warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God under the pulling down of strongholds. See, we can all relate to the carnal weapons. Probably some of you armed with a gun in here tonight. Some of you may have one in your car. Probably got a pocket knife in your pocket just in case. If we know that we're going to a dangerous place, will we not arm ourselves with something, whether it's just a cell phone to call if we need to call? We're going to arm ourselves with something. But let me tell you something. The spiritual condition that we're living in this day and time is more dangerous than anything you're ever going to face physically in this life. There are souls hanging in the balance. And there are people dying and going to hell every single minute of every single day. And we as the church, we need to arm ourselves with the same mind that Jesus Christ had. We need to love them enough that we can sacrifice, that we can give up whatever we need to give up to go and serve Him. That we're willing to suffer a little bit for the cause of Christ. And I know suffering doesn't come natural to the flesh. And it doesn't come natural to the American dream. Believe me, I've been trying to live that thing for years. And it just, the more I try to live that American dream, the more it seems to become a nightmare. Till finally, I just want to throw it up in the air and say, God, here's my life. Do with it what you can. Send me where you will. Let me do whatever little good I can do in this world, and Christ will take that. And I'll tell you this, He'll do things with your life that you'll look back one day and you'll say, wow, I never knew that God could do that with me. And He will. So they took this little boy, and they put the crown on him, and they anointed him, and they gave him a testimony. 7 years old, he become Joash. He become the king, the ruler of Judah. And you know what the Bible says, if you go on and you read, for there was a while there that he was a very godly king as long as he had good influence in his life. Now there was a time that influence would die out and he would make some bad decisions. But listen to me, church. We don't have to go out of here empty pocketed. We don't have to leave here with nothing. We can arm ourselves here tonight. We've got everything that we need. We can be just like that lake. We can gather and we can build and we can grow and we can prosper. And then when we're released from here at that one common point, we can have power. We can generate some power. There's a lost and a dying world depending on you to bring the story of Jesus Christ to them. Do you guys believe that even in the year 2019, there are still people that don't know the name Jesus Christ? Little story that I love to share. We were down in Mississippi, I don't know, it's probably been a year and a half ago. No, it's been 2 years ago. It was Christmas time. Mississippi, it's right in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Mississippi actually has more churches than any state in the United States. We were down there and we were working in a little old church. We were fixing to have a Christmas program. And it was a Saturday afternoon, and Julie and I, we were in the church van. We were going around picking up some kids. And we had, I don't know, 7 or 8 kids in the van with us, and we drove down this road, and there's a little boy walking down the street. And one of the little boys in the van said, "Hey, that's Carlos. Stop and pick him up." So I stopped. I said, "Carlos, you want to get in the van?" And it's pretty commonplace down there. They'll just jump in the van. So this kid, he's 14 years old. He gets in the van. I said, "We're going to the church. You want to hang out with us?" "Love to." So he went and hung out with us that night. And when I took him home that night, he said, "Preacher," he said, "would you mind coming to get me in the morning? I'd love to come to church with y'all." I said, "Carlos, I'd love to." So I went and picked him up. And he came to church with us that next Sunday morning. And that began a process in his life of God dealing with him. And he began, after listening to the preaching for several weeks, he began to question me about salvation and what it was. And one day me and him, we were out under the picnic shelter, and just me and him, we were sitting on a bench of a picnic table. He said, "You keep talking about the Lord." He said, "Who is the Lord?" And that convicted me. That there was a 14-year-old young man living right in the middle of a Bible Belt with a church on every corner. And nobody had sat him down and told him who the Lord was. And I said, "Carlos, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God." He said, "If that's true, why has nobody ever told me that?" Church, you and I are the vessels that God uses to take the gospel out to a lost and a dying world. We're the light that God uses to shine in the dark places. Arm yourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Study the Word like you've never studied. Be prepared. Somebody's going to ask you some hard questions. Don't say, let me call my preacher. Your preacher may be answering 1,000 other hard questions for 1,000 other people. He may not be available. Be ready. Be ready yourself. Be prepared. Do this. Be happy about what you have. Don't worry about so much about what you don't. See, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul as a 9-year-old boy. What else do I need? What else would I want? I got it all right then. And I'm happy about it. Smile. Do you know that a smile is a universal language understood in every nation you'll ever go? When you smile at somebody, it brings soothing, it brings comfort. It'll open a door a lot of times. If you'll smile a little bit, you're going to notice something. People will talk to you a little more. They'll also listen to you a little more. So smile, be happy. Arm yourself. Take the preached word that Brother David preaches to you Sunday after Sunday after, and take it to heart. Don't let it fall on deaf ears. Take whatever He gives you. And listen, I truly believe that every message that comes from the throne of God has something for everybody in it. I've not left here one Sunday yet that there wasn't something in the message for me. Particular. So take it. Arm yourself with it. Pray. 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 And then pray some more. You can't ever pray enough. Arm yourself with the power of prayer. Take the provisions that God's given you. Use every resource available. Man, when I used to pastor down in Dawsonville, we would have these youth rallies, and you would always get that one or two voice. Well, if you can draw them in with a hot dog, I can draw them in with draw them out with a hamburger. Well, good for you. The kids are getting fed either way. But while they're here eating that hot dog, I'm going to instill a little bit of Jesus into their heart. Whatever resource God gives us, use it. You know what? Men and women, boys and girls, they didn't always come to hear Jesus preach. Sometimes they came because they're sick and needed healing. Sometimes they came because they're blind and needed to see. Sometimes they're deaf and needed to hear. Sometimes they was hungry and needed to eat. But when He got them there and He did these things for them, you know what else He did? He instilled His gospel into them and the love that He had for them into them. So you take every resource that God's blessed you with and you use it. Sell out for the kingdom of God. Arm yourself and be dangerous. You know what I thought about for 6 years, the nation of Judah just was going through the motions. The temple of God, it wouldn't shut down, but it wasn't thriving either. Sounds like a lot of our churches today. They're not shut down, but they're not thriving. Man, I could take y'all places, and I go to a lot of places. I go to a lot of different churches. I could take you to places that the walls are busting with people, but there's absolutely no spirit, no power, no life, no salvation. We need it. We need life in our churches. We need to be thriving. We need to have some zeal about us. We need to be armed and dangerous. Well, me and my boys, we love to hunt and we love to fish. We don't go hunting without a firearm. We don't go fishing without a fishing pole. Tell you a funny story. I'll close here in just a minute. Josh and I, it was muzzleloader season. We only have one muzzleloader, and it's mine. And I pulled rank on him that Saturday because I hadn't got to hunt very much. And I said, I'm taking my muzzleloader. You can take your bow. He said, okay. So we drive an hour down to the deer club, get up 4 o'clock in the morning, drive. drive down there, going to be cold. We get out of the truck, and I get my muzzleloader out, and I get it ready, and he pulls his bow case out, and he opens it up. And there's no bow in it. It's an empty case. He picked up my bow case. I can't even tell you where my bow's at, to be honest with you. One of them probably got it and did something with it. But he had an empty bow case, and I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I guess I'll go sit in a tree and watch while you hunt." I said, "Well, you can come sit with me if you want to." He said, "Daddy, we're too big to fit in a deer stand anymore." I said, "Yeah, you go sit in a tree and watch. I'm going to go hunt." Guess what his chances of harvesting anything that morning was? Zero. Why? Because he wasn't armed. He had good intentions. He went through all the right motions. He did everything to get ready. He just forgot to check and make sure he is armed. Church, we got to see to the details. We got to be armed if we're going to fight this battle. You got a good place. You got good people. You got good provisions. And you got the right person. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll arm yourself with those things and truly take it to heart, you'll become dangerous to the world that you live in. The words that you speak will start touching people's hearts. Their ears will perk up. Their hearts will open up. They'll listen. You may not think they'll listen, but they'll listen. There's been people that I have worked on for years, praying for them, witnessing to them, trying to encourage them to come to know Jesus for years, and all of a sudden one day God does his work, conviction hits them, and they come and fall at his knees and be saved. I encourage you to be armed and dangerous. If y'all would come and get a song, we want to give an invitation here tonight. If you're here and you've been coming, and I don't see how it's possible, but you may be here tonight for the first time. If you're here and you've been going to church and you've just been leaving and you've been empty and you just don't think you have anything to offer the world, you don't have any ammunition, you don't have nothing that you can go out there you feel like can be good for the kingdom of God, I encourage you to come to this altar and become armed and dangerous. Somebody's counting on it. Somebody's counting on you to do your part to share Jesus with them. So don't leave here empty. Don't do like Josh. Don't get out there to where there's going to be an opportunity to do something and not be armed. Come ask the Lord Jesus Christ to lead you, and guide you, and help you, and strengthen you. I can promise you He will. He will. So as we stand to our feet, and as they sing here tonight, the Lord's dealing with your heart, and you know there's something missing, would you come tonight? Would you come and say, "Lord, fill me up with everything I need so I can go out into the world and share you with them"? What about it tonight? Would you come tonight? Come on tonight. No better time than the time when the Lord's dealing with you. No better place than the place that He's dealing with you. He may deal with you at home. He may not. He may deal with you tomorrow. He may not. But if He's dealing with you tonight, would you come tonight? Don't take another day for granted. Don't allow another opportunity to slip by. Come and arm yourself. you need him tonight?